Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show coming to you from the RBR Network. We're glad to have you joining us this evening, and we are located out of Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm talking to you from Redmond, Washington this evening. Anyone can access this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford, live, or by going to the archives, which is really the on-demand section. And it's available shortly after the show finishes. If you're not online or have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in at 347-838-9142. Now, if you have a question that you'd like to ask our guest tonight, the number again is 347-838-9142. And Annie, the moderator, when you call in, will get you in. We will try to get you in as soon as possible, so hang on there. We've got a wonderful guest tonight, and he's been on the shows many times, and we're always thrilled to have him on again and again and again. And he knows his stuff. He is Charles Rubin. He's a numerologist and does dream interpretations. But before I bring Charles in, I want to give you a quick rundown of the RBR Network shows that come on every week. Mine is the first one on Monday at 6:30. This is all Central Standard Time, Cosmic Contact Show. Tuesday, the I Am Well show is at 8 p.m. The Night Search show is at 9:30. Wednesday is the No Show at 7. The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program at 8:30 on Wednesdays. Thursdays is the Progressive News Weekly, and that's at 5:30. Friday, the Searchers Roadmap show is at 1 p.m. And the Dream Vision 7 show is at 3 p.m. on Friday. Saturday is Soul Town Sound of Music. That's out of Memphis, Tennessee. Sunday is the Dream Vision 7 show, and that's at 3 p.m., and that's from Boston. So we have a big lineup of shows all week long, so check them out. I know you'll find something that you have an interest, but also, always check on us because we have the best guest on our show. Or I feel like I do. Or we do. Because I look for some great people. Tonight, Charles, he is going to make you laugh, and he's funny, and he really understands the numerology. In fact, he will channel numerology when he does these readings for you, and he'll do little mini readings. His readings are very positive, and they're accurate, and they're powerful. You'll love what he has to share with you. Charles is also a published author and writer, and he's going to be discussing his latest best-selling books. Do you have a dream you would like interpreted? Charles says, our dreams provide knowledge and the tools we need to live happier, more fulfilling lives. And I think that 100% too. It's just remembering the dreams. You will be surprised, though, when you do share your dream with him and what he says they mean. It's always very interesting. So call in, and Charles can be reached anytime at www.innerlight.org. His phone number is 707-760-9008. So I want everyone to find the quiet place and settle in for an amazing call this evening with Charles Rubin. Hi, Charles.
Hi there.
All right. Well, good evening, and thank you for being on the show again.
Not at all. Not at all. So delightful to be on with you.
Well, we were talking a little bit earlier before when we first, connected this evening about the numerology. And I know that we want to talk a lot about that, but I also know you want to talk about your books. And I want you to share what you would like to share right now. If you want to talk about your new books, or have you written anything new?
Well, I'll get that over with, I think. Because it's really, the whole thing about it, it's called Don't Let Your Kids Kill You. It's a guide for parents of drug and alcohol addicted children. However, it is, if you have anyone in your life, anyone, a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a boss, anyone at all, this book will change your life. It has changed the lives of many, many people already. But it really, all of the points in the book are geared for your recovery from being in these relationships. And so I point that out because originally, as you can tell from the title, Don't Let Your Kids Kill You, it really was to offer parents some recovery for, when their kids were on drugs. But what's happened over the years is that people are latching onto it for other reasons. It should be called Don't Let Anyone Kill You, because that's what they do. They kill your spirit. They kill your motivation, your joy, and so on and so forth. I mean, if you let them. And the book is very uplifting. It shows you an easy way to start changing that pattern within you. So that's something that so many people have benefited from over the years. And actually, the first person who ever read it didn't even have children, was actually going to kill herself. She was planning to jump in front of a train in Penn Station, New York. And she went into this kiosk, and the book was there, and she got it, and she said it saved her life. She called me. She was in tears. Well, I went to that kiosk, when I was in New York, just to see what kind of, place it was. I was fascinated by the story. Well, they didn't have books like that. They didn't, I just feel that God put it there. I mean, how else did it get there? She bought it there, so on and so forth. I knew exactly where it was. She described the location. I know the kiosk. How did it get there? They looked at me as if I was from Mars when I asked them about it, because they didn't have books like that. They had Pulp Fiction. So the book has just somehow become a miraculous aid to people who wish to be happy, who wish to be liberated, don't want to have any problems with anyone else ever again. And the book offers great help that way. So it's called Don't Let Your Kids Kill You. It should be called Don't Let Anyone Kill You. And I offer that advice to, listeners. They can really get through very, very, very sorrowful times, come out of it, be happy. Isn't that a great goal? So there you go. That's the whole thing about that book.
Well, that's amazing. Charles, so do you think is this book to help people to stop being enabling? That's all I can think of.
It's much more than that. I mean, it goes into the psyche of the person. I mean, it asks the person to look at themselves and their situation, because a lot of people do not and have not looked at the situation. All they know is that it's very difficult. They're always crying or sobbing or, wringing their hands, or they're always, telling people how bad it is, and, they're being victimized by it. So the whole idea of the book is that, you first start by looking at your situation, but it starts there, but it certainly goes through a lot. I mean, there's about 10 chapters in it, or maybe 12. I don't have it in front of me. There's about 12 chapters. And it just asks you questions, and it brings about a feeling of peace. I've been told, and if you look on Amazon and look at the reviews, most of them are by, from parents. But if you look on there, I mean, people don't go anywhere without this book. They don't even go from, some people don't go from room to room. So it offers a way to get away from the situation that you're in and gives you true perspective as to how, you know, your own actions in it, how it developed, how you got into it, how, you know, and basically what to do.
Well, that's the best part, what to do once you're in it.
Yeah, what
and
to
say,
do.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, what to do. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you have that book out there. Don't you have another book you want to talk about? Or some of the books you
well,
are?
Well, I have,
have,
I mean, I don't usually write books.
Store.
Yeah, I don't usually write books like that, like the Don't Let Your Kids Kill You. My latest book, which is getting a little bit long in the tooth now, is called I'll Get Right Back to You and Other Annoyances. That's 44 annoying sequences. I mean, they're annoying. I don't think they're going to annoy the reader. They're just they're sequences of annoying situations, and it's quite funny. It's I've been told it's hilarious, and it's meant to be. And then I have a novel called 4F Blues. It's a novel of World War II Hollywood, which people have said that they made the mistake of starting of reading it at night, starting to read it at night, because they never slept. They could not stop turning the pages. They had to find out what was going to happen. So that's a very, very entertaining book. And I'm working on one now about the advertising. It's a bit, you know, it's going to be a comedy sort of situation. Actually, it's a murder mystery as well, having taking place in the advertising business in New York and Boston in the 60s, in the late 60s, 1968, 69, 70, around there, with the Vietnam War going on and so on. Yeah, those are books that I have written and I'm writing.
Well, okay. Well, that's
and I've written other books too, but I won't go into those. I mean, it's just too many.
Well, let's talk now about the numerology. As far as books are concerned, Charles, do you have a favorite numerology book that you recommend to people if they want to just
numerology just came to me organically. I just latched onto it, and I was married to Betty Bethards. She's my late wife, who I'll just say a word about her. She's the author of the Dream Book, Symbols for Self-Understanding, and she was a great teacher and guru, very loved by many, many, many people. And so being in her great environment that she created, these things just started to happen, you know, my own channeling and the numerology and so on. So I never really read a book about it. But one thing about Betty and myself was that we came to the same conclusions, the same definitions of the numbers, without even knowing the other person was doing that. So I had immediate sort of confirmation that these were very accurate readings. And when I do a numerology reading, even though I charge for them, that I think I should pay the people because this it's so interesting to find out, to unravel a person's why they came back, what they want to do, what they're meant to do on the earth plane, what's happening to them this year and next year, and, it was much, much more. And channeling, I start to channel when doing these readings. So it's a combination of numerology. And numerology is basically the study of your numbers, and everyone has four numbers, five really, when you consider that every year you have a new number as well. But your basic numbers are all based on your birth date, and the name that you chose, because you've chosen everything in your life before coming in. you chose, your race, religion, time and date of birth, your parents, your sex, your first 28 years, you've chosen all of that. So what basically is there for you to discover is what you came back to accomplish. Are you an old soul? Do you have to come back again? Most of the people I read on are not young souls. They're old souls. They come to me sort of without knowing the soul age or anything. They come just automatically. I don't get a lot of young souls coming. I've had one or two out of many, many readings, thousands probably. I've had only about two or three young souls who questioned what they were hearing, and I knew when they said that they, if I said to them, you don't have to come back ever again, if they said, oh no, I want to come back, then I knew, that I'd made a mistake. But it hasn't happened very much. I have to say once or twice that it's happened. The thing about coming back is, why would anybody want to come back to suffer here? Because life is very tough. You might be happy. It might be something you like to do, have a life, be living, and all this. But it's so much better when we go home on the other side. So I remember there was something about Queen Elizabeth of Great Britain who said that it couldn't be any better for her going. No, she didn't say it to me, but it was on something I saw. I think it had to do with the spy that forget his name, Anthony something, who Elizabeth knew, and in a conversation with him before she knew he was a spy. She said that it couldn't be any better for her, in the most wonderful paradise somewhere, heaven, whatever. It couldn't be any better than what she had here. Well, she's almost 90. I think, she's going to find out that her life here is nothing compared to over there. When we leave this earth plane, is quite extraordinary, quite extraordinary. Though very few people have come back to even describe it, Betty, my wife, Betty Bethards, did have a death experience at one point where she was clinically dead and brought back. And she did see that there really was no death. There really is no death. It's sort of something man has made up. But there is really no death. And so what are we doing here? We're here. We've chosen to be here. We have 23 lifetimes on this planet. I'm sure there are other planets, and there must be other planets, many other planets in the universe. The universe is so vast that maybe support human life, but at least we know this one does. And so people come back 23 times. They come in groups. They leave in groups. If you can understand, for instance, that recent plane situation where the pilot committed suicide and took all the people with him. Those people went home in a group. 9/11, they went home in a group. I did channel on some of the 9/11 people, and they said, what's the big deal? I mean, because things there are so much, it's so wonderful, so wonderful. Doesn't mean I want any of the listeners to go out and kill themselves or anything. Please don't. In fact, if you do commit suicide, you could be in a position where you have to come back five times to make up for that. So please don't do that. We've all committed suicide in one lifetime or another. It's not unusual. It's something we've all done.
Charles, why is it such a big no-no to commit suicide? I mean, why do you think, of course, we come in here to do something, so I guess we didn't complete our mission, so to speak.
Yes.
But
because every lifetime has a different angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different angle. It's a different. I mean, this lifetime you may want to be a murderer. I mean, you haven't been a murderer before, and you need to do that. You need to, you need to be like Saddam Hussein or Charles Manson or somebody, in one lifetime anyway. So you may choose to do that, or you may choose to be murdered actually because you haven't had that experience either. But you may also choose to be a king or be very wealthy or. It's a whole spectrum of incredible things to come back to do. And we choose before coming back, we work with our guidance for 108 years on the other side. I'm not sure if those are earth years or years over there. Might be 15 minutes over there. Maybe you get online and they say next. but you're there for you're there to work with your in between incarnations, which is, they don't take place for 150 to 200 years, to work on what you want to come back to do. So no life is a whim, but most people don't understand that, and they come back and they waste a lot of time. So what the numerology does is it tells you what you need to do, what you came back to do, and to get on with it. You want to be able to fulfill that, and you will. Most the people who call me or email me, they definitely go about then doing what they're supposed to do, and so they are able to. As Betty said, get me out of here alive, meaning that when she left, she wanted very much to be complete, and not have to ever come back. I remember one time at a big lecture she was doing, she was on the stage and somebody asked her about coming back. She said, I'm not coming back with anybody. And being her husband and a jokester, I said from the back of the room, I was at the book table, not even me? And she looked, she said, not even you, honey. that sort of shatters the whole thing about love, eternal love, She wasn't going to come back. No way was she coming back for anybody, including me. So, and I don't want to come back for anybody either, I've learned, who wants to go through all that? You want to be on the other side, you want to be, in a much happier situation. So, you have to go through 23 lifetimes. And then I know that Betty came to me in dreams, and at one point she was lecturing, and I couldn't even understand the subject because it had to do with ancient laws of the universe, and I was only allowed to see this for a very short time. And then I asked her in a dream if she was still doing that, and she said, no, they have me doing other things now. I think she visits a lot of people. There are people who have called me and they asked me, do I know somebody called Betty Bethards? And I say yes. And they say, because they never heard of her, but she was in their dream the night before. Very unusual things happen in this world, in this life, in this universe. And it's good if we can start believing it. Like my brother is very, very ill. He's in Florida. He's ill. He probably will not make it. He's a lot older than me. I'm just waiting actually for the phone call, but his daughter, I spoke with his daughter, my niece, the other day, who said that he was singing Irish songs, and I said, what? And then I thought, well, my dad loved to sing Irish songs, And I feel that my dad is over there getting him ready to come over. You know, we usually have somebody who will be there, who will welcome us. Then we have our whole family, then we have all our friends, and a big celebration when we get home. So I think that, you know, my dad probably and my brother are, as my brother is on the way out, they're probably singing these Irish tunes, you know, otherwise, because nobody could figure it out. And I couldn't at first, and then I thought, oh, that's it. That's it. My dad would sing these songs, you know, he would have one drink, like one drink, and then he'd start. He couldn't drink. He couldn't drink. If it was at a wedding or someplace like that, we'd have to take him out and put him in the car again. He was a character. So you know, when people are afraid of dying, they're afraid of, they don't want to, they, you know, think it's going to be, you know, darkness and gloom and everything. But from everything I've heard and from everything I personally have experienced, and I've had not death experiences, but I've had opportunities to be taken over there. I've had opportunities that I turned down. I said, oh, no, thank you. I pass right now. But I have had them, and they're quite sensational. They're amazing. So when we start to consider these things, we start to consider what life is really about, and as Betty said, after her death experience, she had to figure out what it was all about. She had to. She couldn't then just, you know, go ahead and live a life the way she had before, and I know that a friend of mine who's just survived cancer lives the most joyous life, has said, you know, thank you, thank you. I'm allowed to, you know, remain here for a while and to enjoy life. We should always be enjoying life. That's our whole purpose here, is to love ourselves, know ourselves, and then get out. Go home. You know, your presence is no longer needed. And so we cry. We cry when people leave because we're going to miss them. And then we think our lives are getting shorter. And, you know, the idea of leaving here is painful to some people. And they try to do everything to remain. But it's a beautiful experience, and it doesn't take long. I mean, you know, you're here 1 minute and you're gone the next, but you're not gone anywhere. You haven't gone anywhere. That's the whole point. And so I just bring that up because only in that we don't understand what really goes on in this incredible universe. You know that everybody here is part of the universe. Our bodies are, you know, every cell is what you'll find on, what makes up a human body will be found on other planets. It's the same elements, the same things. And so we're definitely part of the universe, and we're part of a grand scheme, and it's mind-boggling. We never could, and so we live in this one-dimensional world where we think, oh, we think about death, this person died, you know, and we think that's the worst thing that can happen. Believe me, it isn't. Being here is the worst thing. Being here is probably one of the worst things that can happen because you have to go through so much turmoil and so much, you know, unhappiness and all the rest of it. But you choose what you want to do, and that's what the numbers will tell you. The numbers will tell you what you chose, so you don't have to waste your time, waste your life, doing all this other stuff, experimenting. Will this make me happy? Will that make me happy? Will that, you know, satisfy me? Will that be my, the thing that clinches it and says, and I say, oh, that's it. No, you in a half hour, you can spend your whole lifetime trying to figure it out, or you can do it in a half hour, through the kind of thing that I do with people, and I'm very, very excited about it because because I can see how it wakens up people, and they say, oh, I can do that, you know? You can have anything you want. You just have to ask, and you can have it. And there's so much more than what we as individuals realize and understand. There's so much more. So I think that's one of the you know, one of the great things about numerology is that we have an inkling, we have something to go by, something that tells us, yeah, that's what I want to. I want to find out. This is my life. I don't want to spend it in a you know, frustrated situation after one frustrating situation after another. I want to be able to live and have fun and do and achieve what I want and so on. And that's what numerology is. The way I do it, I call it spiritual numerology because it also brings in some channeling. They'll tell me, your guidance will tell me things which I could not possibly know. And I'll bring those into the session. So that's what I do.
Okay. Well, Charles, we've got a bunch of people online right now. Can we bring somebody in and see what
yes.
the question
yes.
is? All right. There's,
yes, let's do it.
Let's bring Trevor in. He's from Washington. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, how's it going?
We're
Hi, Trevor.
Good. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Cool.
What is your question?
I was told that it was good to like explain like a dream you've had recently that you want some
sure. yes.
some insight on. Cool. Well, this was actually from today. The last few days, I feel like my dreams have been more clear than usual. And I've been doing a lot of spiritual work lately, very intrigued by the Pleiadians. And part of that has to do with like letting go and visualizing yourself being in a, like a river of light. So I was
Great.
Doing that and visualizing that and like fell asleep for a little while and was in like a body of water and went like under the water, and in the distance I saw like a sort of golden like jewel of some sort. And when I focused on it, I became kind of like transfixed by it or like overtaken by it. It's kind of like a
by the gold, you mean?
Frozen, yeah, like frozen and just like focused on it. And at one point I felt like I was being like pulled, like stood up, and I couldn't tell if I was like kind of like still in my dream in the water kind of lifting myself up, or if I actually like lifted myself up and kind of sat up in my bed for a second and then went back down. But I felt I just felt like I was vibrating and just kind of like very focused on this thing.
Right. Well, being in the water always means that you're in the emotions. Have there been any emotional things going on recently that are, more emotional than usual?
I've been a very emotion-based person, but I live at home with my family, and over the past few months, my younger sister has been pregnant, and my mom has cancer. We all live at home together, so it's a lot of...
So that's pretty emotional. But anything having to do with you
like
that is especially so?
With me? And with all this stuff going on too, I feel like I live a pretty different life than my family. I do a little bit of my own music stuff outside of the house, and just my lifestyle is different. Being gay and but being like in a conservative kind of home where I can't really express that. So I'm like out doing my own thing, have a boyfriend, very good things going on in that area, but I guess it is emotional with all this stuff going on and then feeling like
okay.
I'm sort of turning off a part of myself when I'm at
well
and also
yeah.
being expected to
and you're doing
so
this letting go business too. You know, that exercise. Well, the gold is the Christ-like, and it's you know, it's like calling you. It's a very spiritual experience. Very spiritual. You're going toward that, and you're being lifted toward that. And you're a very spiritual person. So, you know, why you would be in the emotional area with that going on, I can't figure that out. Maybe because it is
emotional.
You know, actually, it is an emotional thing.
Yeah.
When somebody is in that incredible, beautiful, beautiful space. Did you feel that the dream was, I mean, was it poignant? You know, some people wake up crying.
Because I feel like I've been reaching out to these spiritual guidances lately, especially with
you
all
did
stuff
feel that
with
way.
My family. And it just felt like it was something that was more positive. The last few dreams I've had have been more, like, disturbing and just kind of, like, other, just like warnings, and just wake up and I'm like, ew, what was that? But this one was way more like I was asking to be reached, and
yeah,
I
this is,
wanting to
this
be
is,
reached.
This
and
this
is to like
tell
I'm
you
being,
that yes, that you are, that you're, you know, that you were given this great experience, and it is actually, it's an emotional experience. Normally, if you're in the emotions, you know, in the dream, in the water, and the whole thing, you see water. That's a symbol for that. A lot of times it's just to say, you know, get out of there, or get out of them. But if you're seeing the Christ-like, of course, that's the most, you know, that, I mean, that's extraordinary, you know, to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that you, and it might have to do also with your guidance, who might be, and I imagine, are very pleased with you for your work that you're doing. And trying to, you know, and basically learning to be part of the spiritual cosmos. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Well, cool. And yeah, I've been learning about, like, I was drawn to star seeds, like learning about that, and did all these things to learn about it, and was really like drawn to it, being like, oh, like maybe I am actually connected to these. To like the Pleiades in some way, so I don't know. It just seems like I'm trying to reach out to like what other family or what other guidance might be out there.
Right.
Because I feel kind of limited in my house situation, and their mindsets are so different than mine in ways that it's kind of just challenging for me to figure out how to help them and feel to myself.
Okay. Well, sounds like you're doing good though.
Yeah.
So
well,
keep up the good work.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Trevor.
Yeah,
let's go to our next call, and this is Laurie from Washington. From Washington people. Hello, Laurie.
Hello.
Hi, Laurie.
So, hi. So I'm supposed to ask about a dream specifically?
No, ask for anything.
Well, I'm wondering about my automobile situations.
The car is not behaving?
Well, this, one of the cars, well, I just had to get another car because the one car this kid was working on, and this mobile mechanic kid, and he did a whole bunch of damage to it. And so yesterday he was here, and I signed the stipulation that he's supposed to fix all the damage he did, and now he's like jury rigging all this stuff. Like, you know, the control arms are supposed to be riveted, and he's just bolting it and welding it. And I'm really concerned. And he's just left my car up in the air with the outside, and
car situations plague everybody. Mechanics are, you know, are unto themselves, a law unto themselves. You know, they don't have a great reputation. They, you know, a lot of garages, so on and so forth, create distrust. We don't trust them because they've proved not to be trustworthy. And I think you just got into one of those kinds of situations. But is there anything that is more on the spiritual question list that you might have?
Well, I did have a dream. I don't know, maybe it was like a month or so ago where I saw this these little twins that they had drowned in this vehicle. They were drowned. And that was really disturbing. And then today when I looked online, there was this situation where these two 18-month-old twins had drowned.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, they don't have any connection to your dream, though. But that's very disturbing, nevertheless, to read about that. How terrible. Was it an accident?
I'm not sure.
Or were they purposely drowned? Yeah, because a lot of parents, go off the rails and do terrible things to the kids. Well, your dream is you are the twins in the dream, and you are drowning in emotions is what it is. Mm. You're drowning in, there's some sorrowful stuff going on. I can tell that there's pain in your life, and so you had that dream to say it's time to get get in touch with that and to start to do something about it, because it even affects your daily life. Such things as getting your car fixed by a reliable person, not allowing some kid who doesn't know anything to be, to be doing this. It's all about your self-love, loving yourself.
I had told him to leave it alone, and he went and did it anyway. Like, I couldn't get my car
right
enough. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, the bigger picture isn't the car. The bigger picture is you taking care of yourself and loving yourself, which you have not been doing. You have not been doing it.
It's really hard.
It's about time. It's difficult, but it's not hard. So, you just have to make it a point every day, even write it down. Love Lori no matter what. And nurture and forgive and comfort yourself. You have to be your own person to do this. Everybody has to be their own person, really. I mean, some of us are, luckier than others, and we have nurturing people around us and support groups and everything. But you don't have one, and so you have to be it. You have to do it yourself.
Well, why do I
and
have
you
have
can do it?
A horrible life? I mean, why?
Pardon?
Why did I have to come into such a terrible life?
Well, we make our lives, but you did come into it. You did know before coming in that it was going to be difficult, that it's going to be, that you're going to have to do some serious work to get out of it and move on.
Well, why is that? What is the point?
Because we have 23 lifetimes, and every lifetime is different, and you obviously came back. I'll tell you what you came back for. You came back to learn how to love yourself. You did come back for that reason. So you have to get on with that job. You say, what's the point? Well, the point is that once you start doing that, you're going to feel so much better. And that's what you came back to do, because you never have in your whole life done it. So it's about time you buckle down and take care of yourself and start to have some regard for who you are. You're a beautiful person, it's obvious. And you need to do some serious soul searching as to why you you've neglected yourself, Just because your parents may have, or whomever. Was it a husband?
I've had a lot of different
A lot of different people. Yeah. Because what happens is after living that way, people pick up on it, and then they start treating you that way too.
Right.
So you need to get a hold of this. Take the reins and make some effort. Take some effort because you deserve it. You came back. You deserve it. And you must do it. So we hope you do.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks so much for letting us in on the on this situation.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Laurie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Charles, I love what you were sharing. It's this thing about self-love. I mean, it is, I was just reading that, you know, when we come out into this world, we really have amnesia and we forget, you know, where we came from. And we forget how loved and how awesome that we really are. And then we spend a lifetime of people telling us, you know, that we're no good, we're not good enough, and we're stupid, dumb, all those things that we come in to have to overcome them. So it seems maybe that's pretty much everybody's mission is to come into this lifetime.
Everybody.
Through all these processes of what we have to really love ourselves and know our magnificence and how awesome we really are, you know. But we have
to. If Lori's still listening, Lori, stand in front of the mirror 30 days. 30 days, you stand in front of that mirror and you say, "Hi, you wonderful, beautiful person, you." And you believe it and you go with it, and 30 days, your life will be different. That's what we have to do. We have to do this. We have to, you know, we have to do this self-love thing. Sometimes it's a task. You don't feel like doing it, but you have to do it. Yeah.
That's right. Well, I'm going to bring...
Yeah. Do we have more listeners?
Yes, we do. Let's see. What else have I got in here? Hold on a second. Oh, Jackie Boyd. Let me bring her in. She's from Arkansas. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. How are you, Pam?
We're great.
How are you?
We're doing great.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Charles?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
Well, what's your question?
I wanted to ask about numerology, and I wanted to give you my birth date real quick and see what you pick up about that, or any other.
Okay, but I can only do a very limited one on the radio. I do suggest that you at some point get a full reading, because you'll benefit greatly. But I tell you what. Let's do what your year is about. What's going on this year. So just give me your month and day of birth.
7/23.
Okay. Okay. So. Okay. So I'm just figuring this out. 30, 32, 33, 37. Oh. You're in a 10-year. That's new. That's a new things should be happening since last June. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Since last June?
All there is, and it's coming at me like a freight train.
Yeah, yeah. You're in a 10-year, and that means that you are, there's all sorts of incredible things. Changes and new beginnings, and each one of them, you'll land on your feet.
Great.
You will land on your feet. So
that's
very, it's a very good thing, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it is. I know.
Yeah.
Land on my feet than land on my duff and then have to get on my feet.
Well, best to land on your feet, you know.
Yes.
Any other questions on any other you know?
What does the number 9 represent?
It represents completion.
Mhm.
Yeah, it's completing. You were in a 9-year last year before this 10 came about in June of 2014. And so you were in a completion year that year.
Yes, I completed.
So to open up new channel, a new portal for your new beginnings.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. So good luck on everything. Give us a call. We'll do a numerology reading.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And if anyone would like to get in touch with Charles after the show, You can reach him at 707-769-0908.
No, 9808.
Oh, I put it down wrong. Sorry.
Yeah.
769-9808. Oops. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you said that before, but I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Okay, I guess so. Well, this dyslexic there. Well, okay, let's keep going. We've got more people on the show. Let me bring in the next person. Let's see. Sharon? No, wait a minute. Yeah. Sharon from Ohio. Hi, Sharon.
How are you? Hold on a minute. Ah. Okay, hello.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you this evening?
Good. So what is your question?
Well, I want to see what you can look at, like what's coming up. Do you see any changes for me, like in the next couple months as far as...
career. Okay, give me your birthday, too, and I'll do that.
It's September 1st.
No, I just need the month and the day.
Oh, okay, September 1st. Okay, you don't need the year?
No.
Okay.
Not unless you do a full reading with me.
Oh,
then I'll need the year. So, what is the month and the day?
September 1st.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's see what's happening here. 10,
thank
11,
you.
12, 13, 17. Oh,
my contract job ends.
So,
job ends in 2 weeks, and I'm starting to frantic. I can't get enough. I'm looking. That's okay. Go on. Sorry.
Well, okay. This is very strange. That let's see, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
17. You're in an 8 year. I mean, this is a year for you to reap the benefits financially.
Okay.
So you have until.
September, right?
No, until August, a month before your birthday, and then things will open up because you're in that space, but panicking and worrying will block you. You cannot panic, and you cannot worry. You cannot do those things, or they will block you.
Do you see another contract?
I know, and of course, people will worry because it's a natural situation. But you know, if you know that it's going to be something that is going to stop you from progressing, you just have to turn off the brain. The brain loves to scare you to death. Turn it off. Don't go there. Tell the brain to shut up. Because
it
can get you in trouble. Pardon?
You see before this August me getting another contract job.
Oh, yes, long before that.
Okay.
Absolutely. But a lot has to do with you. You're out there, you're looking, you're out there. You can also say, block me from a job that would be disastrous.
No one is.
I'm not going to do
that. No. Oh, I know. You're right.
Yeah. You don't want to. I mean, didn't you have an offer?
You know, I did get an offer. It was back in actually November, but it was an hour and a half away. The hours were terrible. It just didn't benefit with the income. So I kept the contract job while I'm looking because it's money, the contract job. It really is.
Right.
But it's ending
in
2 weeks. And do you see a predominant month that would be really beneficial for me between now and August?
No, I think that within the next 2 months, it's not only you're going to find a job, you're going to find something you really want to do.
What? I know. Thank you.
You know?
I know
it
too.
So just see it happening. Just, envision, if you're going to use your imagination instead of listening to stupid, negative stuff
your
that
brain,
we produce.
I know.
The brain.
You're right.
Yeah.
You talk
it's
to yourself.
Like,
I know.
Yeah, just see yourself because you are a very spiritual person and you're an old soul. You have a lot going for you.
I am very spiritual, too. I try
to
live by the Ten Commandments. I really do. I'm not perfect, believe me, but I do try. I do.
Oh, I thought you were. Oh, now you've destroyed my whole idea.
You're funny.
Any other questions?
No. Thank you so much, both of you.
You're gonna be so happy. Don't worry about it.
Have a nice evening, okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Sharon, for calling in. We've got one more person, Carol. She's from New Jersey. Let me bring her in. We've got about 5 more minutes. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good evening, Pam. Good evening, Charles. Thank you for taking my
call.
Good
evening, Carol.
Hi. I have a very disturbing dream that I never had in my whole life, and it's bothering me too much. So I'm so happy that you're here today. Maybe you could give me some light on it. I'm
sure.
I'm very spiritual as well. And lately, two things
very what?
Have happened. I'm very spiritual. So
oh, okay.
This dream is a shocker. So my first, it's actually like two. They're kind of connected. I don't know how. I woke up one morning, like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was just frozen, but my whole body was shaking as if somebody was shaking me. And I don't know why, but I felt like I was in between a dream and knowing that was not a dream, that was really me awoken. But that's that one. So the second one, this is the disturbing one. A couple of days ago, I dreamed that my last dream was a little...
So, could you speak a little bit louder? I'm not hearing.
Yes.
Would you mind speak a little louder? Yeah.
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah.
Is this better? Can you hear me now?
I can.
Oh, great. Okay, so I dreamed that a little devil, a miniature, like 2 feet tall, with the little horns, all in red, with a cape, threw sparkles at me, and I called out for Archangel Michael. And I just woke up. And that really bothered me, and I don't know why, but it bothered me a lot. Because I never had a dream like that. I usually have beautiful dreams.
Right. I hate to say it, but the devil was part of your thinking recently, or something that came about that.
A person was behaving that way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
so you had an experience of it that went into your subconscious, but I can tell you that.
Yes.
The one thing I picked up when, you know, long before you even described this dream, was I'm wondering if you happen to have, entities in your house.
Oh, no.
Where you live.
No,
pardon?
I don't.
You don't think
no,
you do? Okay, because that would be, that could also be, you know, an entity scaring you to, you know, smithereens, you know.
No.
And you're quite sure you don't? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really part of your subconscious, part of your, you know, it would be considered that the devils are you, you know, that it's your devilish part. So you have to really, since it's not an entity, you have to then embrace them and say, oh, you know, what are you doing here, you know, instead of being scared by it, you know. Because being scared by it defeats the whole reason it's there. You're supposed to just kind of like laugh at it, although it might
be
scary.
Yeah, after many hours I did, but I thought with me was an experience with somebody that just kind of came into my life and started behaving, was very spiritual, and all of a sudden starts talking about stuff like that, the darkness. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, and it went into your subconscious. It certainly did.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Because
you
don't have
so
that many people in your life that are talking that way.
Not even one. It came out of left field, but the person has a little mental.
What it did was it awakened something in you that you know. But there's nothing to worry about. It's not real. They're not real. They're just, you know. If anything, as you said, you laughed at it after. So. You know,
yeah, because
you just
have
to laugh
like,
at it and just say, gee,
it was sparkling. Why? It's sparkling. You know, like they
and this is comical characters, too.
Well, I think it goes with the behavior of that gentleman that I know.
Uh-huh.
He has a sparkly personality. So it's like,
yes.
I match those two together. I don't know why, but that's like the way I'm. It's not funny. So I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very
welcome. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, Charles, what a great evening. You've answered a lot of people's questions here. That was our last caller, so we are finishing up now. We're right on time. I just wanted to know if you have any words of wisdom you would like to leave everyone. You have shared a lot of great things with us, or you can give us everybody your information, how they can reach you now.
Well, let's see. I think my two main messages are having to do with don't let your kids kill you, or don't let anybody kill you. And also, you know, if what you heard on this program sounded good to you, then you should probably indulge do something for yourself, get a reading. And the whole purpose of being on this earth plane is to know ourselves and love ourselves, don't have grudges, love yourself and love other people, even if they're ratty, horrible people, love them anyway, and be forgiving. Forgive yourself for anything mistake you thought you made. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You're going to make more mistakes, believe me, before the end of this particular incarnation. So just enjoy, just have a good life, and, you know, go out and kick your heels up, have fun.
Seriously. Okay, I got it. Well, thank you
very
much.
Yeah, the serious stuff is just so ridiculous.
It is, and laughter is the best medicine, and we have to laugh at ourselves because it's important.
It is. It's your life. We're talking about your life, and your life is important.
Okay. Let's see if Annie, did you have anything you wanted to say this evening?
No, other than I think that is a great way to end our show, and everyone have a great week. And
I know there's something on your mind. You're not telling us.
Well, I was going to say, I was throwing a curveball this weekend. So what do you see in my future for me, Charles?
What happened this weekend?
Well, I just was told something on Friday about my job that I definitely wasn't expecting. My company has been sold, so, but I'm been told that it's going to be for better for me, for sure. So, what do you see?
Change is good.
Change is good.
Yeah, you were getting bored with it anyway.
Yeah, I was wanting a change.
So it's time to, you know, you're not allowed to just suffer and be in a job that's boring for you.
Okay.
Things will be much better. You're going to be much happier. But change is hard, you know, until things are going to change. Then you get all sort of like, you know, worried and, you know, Because that's what happens with change.
Right.
But it's going to be good. There's never been a time where you have not been in a good situation, you know, where
true.
You have survived, and there's never going to be a time where they won't.
Good. Okay. Well, my birthday is 7/7, so.
Tomorrow's your birthday? You're 77?
No, just 7, July 7th.
Oh, you didn't sound 77. 7/7, okay, 7/14. 7/14, 21. You're going to be in a 3-year, let me see, 7/7, right?
Right.
Okay, let me just, 7/14, 15, 16, 17. 17.
Number 3.
Yeah, that's right. You're in a 3-year, that's a balanced year of the body, mind, and spirit. It's
okay.
A year for you to balance all those things equally, not one or the other. You don't have to become a religious fanatic or, you know, a food freak or any of those. You don't have to become, you know, the most intellectual person in the world. Spread it out 3 ways this year.
You got it. Okay.
All right.
Do that. Well, thank you so much, and it's always great to have you on the show.
Thank
you. Have a great week.
Well, yes, let's have one.
Okay.
Good evening,
everybody.
Everyone,
have one.
Yes, we're on it.
All right.
Thank you, Charles.
You take care. Thank you so much for having me on.
And I'm going online and buying your book. Don't let your kids kill you. I'm buying it.
Don't let them kill you. Don't let anybody kill you.
I'm buying it for the anybody. So that's a good. I can't wait. I'm gonna get it.
Yeah, we don't want anybody killing us.
Right. Okay. Have a great week.
All right. Okay. You too. Bye for now.